So here's what we've got in Scripture. The term heavens and earth, whenever you have heavens and earth together, that's a synonym for the universe. It's the physical universe. Heaven in the singular, often, though not always, refers to heaven, the dwelling place of God. So, was there a dwelling place of God prior to the creation of the heavens and the earth, the cosmos, the physical universe? Clearly there was. And so angels presumably, you know, were in that. And I say that because God is eternal, so is heaven eternal? Well, since God's eternal and God in Scripture has some special place of dwelling, then we could say heaven has always been because God has always been, but we also need to realize that, and you mentioned the third heaven, is a term that is used in Scripture in 2 Corinthians 12, and there's a couple of other places where there's this idea of heaven, the dwelling place of God. Paul says he knows a man, it's clearly he himself, who was taken up to the third heaven and things were revealed to him, which he's not permitted to share. Now, this does not, does that make sense, what I just said? I mean, the distinction between, okay, good. By the way, on that point, with all the stories of people supposedly, you know, coming back from heaven and telling their stories of what happened. First of all, God can do anything he wants, and he doesn't need my permission, or yours or anybody's. If God wants to take somebody up to heaven, they die, and then they come back, he sends them back. Okay, you know, totally free to do that. But I do think it's interesting that Paul says when he came back from heaven, he wasn't permitted to talk about it. So when everybody comes back, and another issue I have is when people supposedly go and they come back and they describe how wonderful heaven is and they talk about Jesus, and it's usually a real warm, you know, connecting with Jesus, and you get all that. But it's very interesting in John, Revelation chapter 1, the Apostle John, who, remember who he was? He was the closest friend of Jesus. You know, there was Peter, James, and John in the inner circle, and John is called the beloved disciple, the one who was closest to Jesus. And what happens when John is taken up into heaven, and in his case, he was given permission to reveal some, at least, of what he experienced in the book of Revelation. What does he do when he sees Jesus? He falls on his face, overwhelmed with the holiness of the Jesus who he walked with on earth. And it's just so interesting to me because I've read about every book on heaven that exists. I wrote a big book on heaven called, of all things, Heaven. And a real creative title. And so I just read 150 books, you know, everything that I could find, including the stories of people going to, and I go, I haven't read one of them. Not one of them where somebody's experience is anything like what John, his closest friend, experienced. So that gives me cause. And then when the stories are told of the rainbow-colored, you know, unicorns in heaven and how people have, they're not, he doesn't call them halos, it's like circles or something over their head. But the idea is halos. Where in the Bible do you ever see people with halos over their head? And the people have wings in heaven. So you go, okay, that's a child's account of having been in heaven. Could he have gone? Sure, God can do anything he wants. But I think you'd think it would fit a little more with what we actually see in Scripture.